welcome to Monday morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here. How was the weekend for you? For some, it was probably a busy, normal weekend. For others, anything but. Wildfires, of course, continue to burn in Saskatchewan. We've got the head of the SPSA joining us right away for an update of the progress made in some areas, challenges met in others. We'll be talking a little bit about that. The other story that we're following very closely today is a big meeting in Saskatchewan today. Prime Minister Mark Carney and the premiers from across Canada assembling in Saskatoon for a one-day meeting to discuss priorities for each province and what a path forward might look like. Prime Minister has given the premiers a little bit of homework, asking them to come with five priorities that they would like to see identified going forward. I'd like to hear your list. If you were putting together the list for the Prime Minister, what would it be? We'll talk about that coming up after 9 o'clock. Also on the show today, so Roundtable of Justice, Mondays at 10 o'clock. We have heard a lot recently about bail reform. During the federal election, Pierre Poilievre especially spoke quite a bit about bail reform, but we heard it from the Liberal campaign as well. Premier Scott Moe identified it in his letter to Prime Minister Carney. He had 10 points of things he wanted to see done. Bail reform was one of them. What actually needs fixing? Like, what works and what doesn't work with our current bail system? Does it need completely being wiped out and an overall? Does it need some tweaks? I've got a couple of Canadian experts joining the show on the Roundtable of Justice to discuss that just after 10. Also, we'll talk about an innovative Saskatchewan egg company, a Saskatchewan drug addiction center that's found a way to yield results. And of course, just after 9, the green and white prognostication winner from Friday's Rider game. All right, let's get going. Here is today's big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the big talker.
Well, when you and I left off on Friday, we were, of course, talking about the worrisome wildfires that were burning in the province, threatening some communities, already devastating and having effects of properties being burned, evacuating different communities. All weekend long, firefighters continue to work, both those that are working as firefighters, those that are volunteer, and so many more volunteers. Like, there are, we're hearing such great stories about communities having people making food, preparing meals for the volunteers that are out there fighting these fires. I wanted to bring in Marlo Pritchard. Marlo, a friend of the show. We've had Marlo on before. He's the president of the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency, which was busy over the weekend. Saskatchewan's Fire Commissioner Marlo Pritchard joins us by phone. Marlo, thank you for giving us a few minutes this morning.
Good morning, Evan. Absolutely. Glad to be on your show today.
I'm wondering if you could just give us, maybe just start off with a bit of an update. How did we make out over the weekend? Did things worsen? Are we stabilized in some areas?
You know what? Thanks for that, Evan. But I think I'm going to start with just acknowledging exactly what you said earlier, that, you know, there's many individuals that have been impacted, either displaced, evacuated. They're waking up this morning with some uncertainty and fear. And I just want to make sure that everyone knows, everyone in the province knows, that we have some fantastic women and men that are doing everything humanly possible to combat these unprecedented fires that threatening many of the communities. They're laying it all on the line. They're putting in long days, and I really want to just assure everyone that we're doing everything humanly possible to defend not only human life but communities, property, critical infrastructure. We move resources around based on priorities. But there's a lot of work going on, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Over the weekend, I would say it's about the same. We currently have 18 fires on the landscape. Six of those are not contained. Six are contained. We have five ongoing assessment and one protecting values. What's interesting is that, you know, to date we have 219 fires, where our average is 131. So, you know, even the numbers alone indicate, the level of busyness. With the hot weather that we are having, no rain in sight, and, of course, the strong, gusty winds today, it's going to, you know, come from the northwest. It brings challenges. It brings challenges not only to our firefighters, but it causes these fires to run a long distance, and they're very, very difficult and very challenging to contain. So what I can say is that we are using all of our assets, not only just the firefighters, and I'll go into that just in a second, but I mean, we have air assets, but we have to acknowledge that there are times where our planes and our helicopters can't safely be used because of either the visibility conditions on the ground, heavy smoke, heavy winds. We have to ensure the safety of all of our firefighters as well as our communities. So the odd time you're going to see some of the planes or helicopters sitting on the ground, that's because the situation is not safe or at that specific time. Otherwise, we're using all of our resources on all of these fires.
Mm-hmm. Marlo Pritchard. Sorry, I was just going to ask Marlo, how do you even start to prioritize? I look at the map and I follow the interactive map every day. How do you do this in terms of prioritizing where the assets are going, what fire you're trying to attack first?
We have, again, different regions that are continuously planning and assessing risks. And it goes back to it's the risk to life, risk to communities and property. And so we continually assess the developing situation. We have mapping technology that forecasts or at least predicts where the fire, based on wind and the current conditions, where that fire may go over the next 12, 24 hours. And so we make decisions based on that, on prioritizing the greatest risk at that point in time. And so we'll move resources, air assets, ground assets, heavy equipment, to try to protect those areas that are at the highest risk at that given time or within the next 24 hours. It's almost a layered defense, in all fairness. I mean, we have the ground crews that are definitely, you know, hitting and doing what they can to deal with the wildfire as it advances. We use our air assets, both retardant and water bombers. But we also have what we call value protection. So if we know there's a value such as a cabin or a community, we'll go in and we will put sprinklers up on a cabin per se, and we will service those, and we'll put a lot of water, if there's a water source close by, around that, trying to protect that water or that value. And in the bigger communities, we'll use, I guess I'll call them sprinklers on steroids. They're basically water cannons. We have third-party contractors that bring in huge sprinklers and work with us to put up a wall of water to keep the fire from encroaching or coming into the community.
Mm-hmm.
And then behind all of that, right now we have partnered with many, many structural fire departments across the province. And so we're putting them right in the community, patrolling for embers, patrolling for hot spots. So you can see that there's like three or four layers of defenses. And we'll also put cut lines in before that just to break up that fuel and either slow it down or redirect it. So there is an enormous effort that most people do not see on what we're trying to accomplish when we're taking on these big and very challenging fires.
Marlo Pritchard is my guest, president of the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency. One fire we've been following closely is that large one near Candle Lake. I know last week, at the end of the week, it was about 20 kilometers from the community. Now we're hearing about 14. There's been work to put a barrier between the community and the fire. Can you give us an update on that one in particular?
Absolutely. You're correct. The fire has kind of chugged along slowly toward that community over the last 7 days and over the weekend. It's down to about 13 or 14 kilometers from the community. We've had heavy equipment and our mitigation specialists in there. They've been working on it. We expect that cut line will be complete sometime tomorrow. And then at the same time that cut line's going in, we have value protections, just exactly what I talked about, those water cannons being deployed basically counterclockwise around the lake to protect the communities and the cabins. And while we're doing that, of course, we're planning for what type of attack we can do on the fire as it gets closer.
Mm-hmm. There's a number of people that are obviously out fighting these fires, but there's also a number that are helping facilitate those that are evacuated. I know we're over 8,000 now in the province. How is that going? Are we finding locations for the evacuees?
You know what? We're continually assessing that. There are challenges at times to get adequate hotels or hotel space. But I have a team that do amazing work supporting evacuees and planning for, if other communities have to move out. So we're, again, just like I talked about the assessing and planning the response to the fire, we're continuously behind the scenes, building contingency plans for not only, evacuees that we're currently dealing with, but also, potential evacuees that could be coming over the next 24, 48 hours or longer, unfortunately. But I would like to just take this opportunity just to remind everyone that, if you are self-evacuating or you've been put on an evacuation alert, please register with your community or register online with SPSA. We do know that we've had incidents where individuals have left their community and we didn't know that they were leaving the community, so it takes us a while to catch up to them, whereas if they're registered, we can deal with them and give them the supports that they need as quickly as possible. So just a quick reminder on that, too.
Are they able to do that? So what is the website that they should be going to for that, Marlo?
It's the SASC Evac website app. And okay. You can actually get it from evacuations. And if you have if there's questions of individuals of what the current situation is, of course, you can go to our website. But we also have a dedicated line that has been set up just to deal with questions of people that have maybe been evacuated or, maybe need to know how to register. They can call our assistance line, and that's 1-855-559-5520. And also on that line, if there's individuals that, because we're getting calls that, there's people want to help. And I mean, you mentioned about it earlier, about people bringing out food and water mm-hmm. to our volunteers and to our firefighters. That is so greatly appreciated. And I just want to, heartfelt thank you to everybody that is supporting all of us. It is a challenging time, but together we're going to get through this. But if there's other individuals in Saskatchewan that want to help, just give us call that line, and we will take the information of where you are, what resources or what equipment that you may be able to use, because we really do want to kind of coordinate that. We don't want to just pile on logistics. We've got to have a plan on how we feed this into dealing it, whatever our priority is. Mm-hmm. So if there are people that want to help, absolutely, we'll be more than happy to take your information and then circle back with you.
Marlo, I'm just curious, before I let you go, we've talked a lot about some of the property value destruction. We've had some cabins, some trailers. I'm assuming we haven't had any serious injuries as a result of these fires?
No, we have not had any serious injuries or fatalities that we're aware of. Unfortunately, we do have over 150 structures confirmed lost, and there's others that are suspected. And, of course, there'll be a lot of work to do as we stabilize over the coming weeks to really roll that up and do those investigations and really determine what the impact was. But over 150 structures, cabins, RVs. We do have a lodge that we believe is lost, but there's a lot of work that we need to do to roll mm-hmm. that up. But I do have a correction here. The 1-855 number that I gave was wrong. It's 1-855-559-5502, not 20.
Sounds good. I got that down here, and I can remind people as well. Okay. Just really quickly before we go, state of emergency was declared at the end of last week. Did that help? Does that unlock some resources that allow us to attack this more aggressively?
You know what? That is definitely an awareness across Canada that puts us at a higher priority through some of our compacts. So it definitely has sped up the filling of some of our resource orders. It also, in the future, as we go through the next day or two or week, it gives us some extra powers, our ministers some extra powers, should we require them, to support evacuations or support communities. So it's really a lot around of building that system or that process in case it gets worse. And we know that we've got some challenging days ahead of us, but it is definitely, in place to deal with hopefully it never gets there, but deal with the incidents where it can get really, really bad. We need to make some very, very tough decisions. But I will say that what I am hearing back from our staff is that the ATV ban, although it was not, it was thought out and it was a very, very tough decision to make, the ATV ban is making a difference. We're keeping individuals out of the north, and we do know that those were, human caused unintentional fires caused by ATVs. So just a reduced likelihood of other fires starting is going to be of a benefit to all of us.
Marlo, thanks so much for, I know you're busy. Thank you for taking some time to join us this morning. Marlo Pritchard, president of the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.